ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सारस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरयेत्। श्रीन्वतं स्वागता कृष्णा पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः हृदन्तस्तो हि अभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। सो इट्स कैंटो 6 prescribed duties for mankind, chapter 2, Ajamila delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, text number 33. Okay. Anyata mriyamanasya nasucher vrishalipate vaikunta na nama grahanam jihva vaktum iha arhati anyatam riyamanasya anyatam riyamanasya nasuche vrishalipate नासुचेर वृषलीपते वैकुंठनाम गृहानाम वैकुंठनाथ गृहानाम जिह्वा वक्तुम इहर्हति जिह्वा वक्तुम इहार्हति अन्यता म्रियमानस्य नासुचेर वृषलीपते वैकुंठनाम गृहानाम जिह्वा वक्तुम इर्हति। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस शिला प्रभुपाद की जय। अन्यता अदरवाइज म्रियमानस्य of a person who is just ready for death, of a person who is just ready for death, na, not, asucheham, most unclean. So suchi is clean, asuche is most unclean. Vrishalipate, the keeper of a prostitute. Vaikuntha, of the Lord of Vaikuntha, Namagrihanam, the chanting of the holy name, Jivha, the tongue, Vaktum, to speak, Iha, in this situation, Arhati, is able. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly, it could not have been possible. Purport: The name Vaikunthapati, which means the master of the spiritual world, is not different from the name Vaikuntha. So the Vaikunthapati, which means the master of the spiritual world, is not different from the name Vaikuntha. So there's no difference between the Lord and his abode, Vaikunthapati and Vaikuntha. Ajamila, who was now a realized soul, could understand that because of his past spiritual activities in devotional service, he had gotten this opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati in his horrible condition at the time of death. We'll also read the next verse. Kvachaham kitava papo brahmago nirapatrapaha kvacha narayaneti etad bhagavannama mangalam. Translation. Ajamila continued, I am a shameless cheater who has killed his Brahmanical culture. Indeed, I am sin personified. Where am I in comparison to the all auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayana? So when we try to compare our sinful personality with that of all auspicious holy name or Lord Narayana, we can see a huge difference, and therefore that difference truly manifests in humility. Because that purity, well, I am the servant of the Lord and I'm so fallen, I'm so sinful, whereas Lord, he is so great, and that difference, but yet compassionate and loving. So those feelings manifest or transforms the person into humility. So that means the more a person becomes purer, the more the person manifests humility. The more the person is contaminated, the more the person displays false ego, the personality. So the person thinks that I and mine, he thinks in terms of the body, but when the person rises above the bodily concept, then the true humility manifests. Till then, someone says, I am most fallen, Prabhu. The very statement that made that I am most fallen, Prabhu, indicates once again the false ego, because the person wants to be in the center of conversation. Once this happened to me, not once, more, many times it has happened to me, but once it so happened that Prabhu said, Prabhu, I am most fallen, Prabhu. I said, Prabhu, don't say these statements. I've heard such statements, many statements in ISKCON, but you don't mean that. So therefore, don't say that I am most fallen. If somebody is fallen, let that person display his fallen situation through his character, through his actions, rather than false words. Because by saying that statement, once again, you are placing yourself in the center, which is not what is Krishna consciousness. So the purport. Those engaged in broadcasting the holy name of Narayana, Krishna, through the Krishna consciousness movement should always consider what our position was before we came and what it is now. So Prabhupada is giving a chetavani. He is telling us to understand our own situation, what we were before becoming Krishna consciousness to what we are after becoming or attempting to become Krishna consciousness. We had fallen into abominable lives as meat eaters, drunkards, and woman hunters who performed all kinds of sinful activities. But now we have been given the opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, we should always appreciate this opportunity. By the grace of the Lord, we are opening many branches And we should use this good fortune to chant the holy name of the Lord and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. We must be conscious of the difference between our present and past conditions and should always be very careful not to fall from that most exalted life. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Tiswapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has the form of Satchitananda Vigraha, transcendental bliss, knowledge and eternity. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him who turned the dumb into eloquent speakers and enables the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanasute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Say once again with feelings from the heart and hear your own sweet voice. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the essence of this whole section where we are required to chant the holy name of the Lord, and by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we find Ajamil was delivered from his most precarious situations. So, 33, once again, were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly, it could not have been possible. So, it is, in a way, Ajamil is showing or displaying his mixed emotions. On one side, he is wondering what made this wonderful four personalities appear at the most difficult situation of his life. And at the same time, he is still in fear. Is this true? Or was it a dream? So therefore, this section 30 to 34, Guru Maharaj in his book, The Veil Begins to Part, gives the subtitle as Ajamila Ponders His Good Fortune. So therefore, I said the 33 and 34 we can take together. So Ajamila is only wondering why this good fortune has appeared in his life, and thus displaying the mixed emotions of fear and wonder, or one can say happiness. Has anyone experienced such a mixed emotion in your life? A mixed emotion of fear and happiness at the same time. And how did you feel? Because this is what we find here, Ajamil. is experiencing that on one side there's a fear because he has seen the four Yamadutas and his whole life history was explained by Yamadutas. But at the same time, the four wonderful Vishnudutas, he said, okay, it's all right, he has done all that, but all that has been evaporated, all that has been erased by just chanting the name of the Lord, Antye Narayana Smriti. At the end of his life, he has chanted the name of the Lord, and that overrides everything else. It's like you go through the judgment from the lower court to the higher court. The lower court has given one judgment, but then the highest court has given a different judgment, altogether opposite to what the lower court has given. So whatever judgment has been pronounced by the Yamadutas has been overturned by the Vishnudutas, because Vishnudutas were trying to give the essential principle of Vedic injunction, that if you can remember the name of the Lord at the end of your life, then all that you have done, it is clean. It's something like you take a duster and all that writing is on the board, you just wipe it off, and that's what has happened in the case of Ajamil. This sort of a mixed emotion I did personally experience. It's only 3 weeks back, because the last 1 year we have been going through tough times personally in my life or for the family. We lost our dear one in the family. Then there was a huge financial unexpected where we have not done any mistake, but it came on our shoulders and things were happening, and in the meantime our lease got over in we were in Dank Street, just one block away. So the lease has come to an end and we are required to move, and then we purchased a property in Park Street, and then we were waiting whether the settlement would go through successfully or not. So on the time when the bank has announced that settlement has gone through successfully, there was a mixed emotion, that there was a sort of a fear, will it go through or not, will it go through or not, will the bank say something else at the last minute. And when then it went through, there was a smile. So there was a mixed emotion, and that mixed emotion, one should only experience to understand the emotions going through or gone through by Ajamil. Otherwise, it remains only theoretical. So the mixed emotions as he was displaying, he said, how is it possible that a most unclean keeper of a prostitute could remember the Lord? What have I done before? Have I done anything good in my past life? Because normally we are told regularly that whatever we do in our life, all through our life, that's what is remembered at the most difficult situation of our life. And the most difficult situation of a life for any person is at the last moment, when the soul, along with its subtle body, is being extricated from all that it has been relating to itself in this material world. And therefore that pain, Srimad Bhagavatam considers as a pain experience when you are bitten by more than 10,000 centipedes at one time. So scorpions. So scorpions. And has anyone been bitten by a scorpion? No, fortunately no. Yeah. But if you have seen recently Gangeshan Prabhu, he was bitten by a scorpion. If someone wants to see, I can show the picture with Gangeshan Prabhu's permission. I've got the picture. It's only a doctor can see that. Others, normal persons who do not see the blood and flesh, they become scared. And Prabhu had to undergo urgent surgery to get over the problem. I think it took about 5 weeks or 6 weeks for Prabhu to get over that problem. But in the beginning, there was so much of pain. So with just one bite, Prabhu had experienced so much of pain. And here the time when 10,000 scorpions are going to bite a person at the time of departure, how much pain the person would incur. And at that time, it's like the normal when we are in a difficult situation, what is our shelter? Normally we tend to take the shelter of our partner, our children, so there's the attachment we have, or our money, or insurance, or bank, doctor, whatever it is, that's the shelter we take. And obviously, at the end of our life, that's the shelter we are reminded of, because during the difficult times, we have taken that shelter, and at the end also, we'll experience, or we try, our mind drifts through to that shelter, because that's what we have gone through. And therefore, Guru Maharaj in that section quotes 2.1.4, where he says, persons devoid of Atma Tattva do not inquire into the problems of life. Being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children and wife, although sufficiently experienced, still they do not see their inevitable destruction. So Guru Maharaj quotes this verse, Dehapatya Kalatradish Atma Sainyeshu Asasva Api Tesham Pramatto Nidanam Pasyan Apina Pasyati. So although the person has gained some experience, that he has seen that people who have died before, people are going to die, I'm also going to die, but still we do not become free from all the miseries. And when we want to become also, we think of only our family and others, and the result is we become attached to them. And because we become attached to them, at the time of departure, these fallible soldiers come into our consciousness. And Gurudev continues to quote 2.15 and 6. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul, the controller, and the savior of all miseries. So truly speaking, if one wants to get over the miseries of life, and what are the miseries of life? The birth, the death, the old age and disease. Some of you are who have not entered into the old age, they can't understand what old age is. But some of us who have entered into that bracket, we know what it is. We wonder, how was it yesterday? I was so agile, I could move everywhere. But today, the body doesn't cooperate. Although the mind is still the same, but the body doesn't cooperate. I remember in Hyderabad, we received a patient. We used to have a big homeopathy clinic. And a patient came to me. Especially the Mata, they were more than 60 years plus. And the lady came to me and said, Doctor, give such medicine to my husband so that he does not crave for me. Even at this age, he comes to me and I feel chichi. I don't know what to do. Please give that medicine. And after she leaves, the husband comes to me and says, Doctor, give such a medicine to my wife so that she can come to me. So what it means is even at that age, if one is not trained, one will not be able to overcome the so-called attachments to the body and body relationship. Whereas here, in 2.5 is being warned that one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear and glorify and remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul, the controller, and the savior of all miseries. And the greatest gain one can achieve is given in 2.16. Maybe I'll read the Sanskrit verse also. Etavan sankhya yoga bhyam swadharmo parinishtataya janmalabha parapumsam ante narayana smritihi. The highest perfection of human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty is to remember the personality of Godhead. In other words, life, Prabhupada writes in that purport, last line, in other words, life should be molded in such a manner that one is able to progressively remember the personality of Godhead in every step. Now, this is what Bhagavatam is saying, but is this what Ajamila has done? Not really, because he did not follow this instruction of trying to remember, glorify the Lord in terms of what 2.15, 2.16 is saying, but yet he remembered the Lord at the end of his life. So therefore, Mother Devahuti says in 3.33.7, I'll pick up the first 33.6, because these two verses are connected. Yennamadhye shravananu kirtanad yat prahvanad yat smaranad apikvachet swadhopi sadhya savanaya kalpate kutah punaste bhagavanu darshanad. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. So this is what Mother Devahuti is saying in 3.33.6. So even if the person is the most fallen person, so therefore here it is said the family of dog eaters, such a fallen person, but if he can remember, or if he can utter the holy name of the Lord, then he can be elevated to the highest consciousness, or it becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Normally, Vedic sacrifices in Vedic culture is allowed to be done only by qualified brahmanas, not by anyone. But the potency of the holy name of the Lord is so powerful, it does not look at the background of a person, whatever may be the background. So therefore, just to describe what the background is, in this verse, Mother Devahuti is saying that even if the person happens to be born in a family of dog eaters, even such a fallen person, but if he chants, if she chants the holy name of the Lord, is elevated to the highest position, so much so that the person is allowed to perform Vedic rituals. And therefore we find in ISKCON there are devotees, we do not look at the past background, because they have taken to the holy name chanting, and through the parampara process they are elevated and they are given the opportunity to even perform altar service on the altar, which is typically in a Vedic culture is confined to only so-called Brahmana families. Now the next verse, it says, Aho bhata swapachokto gariyan. So swapacho is a dog eater. Yes jivha gre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhuvu sasnur arya brahmanachur brahmanuchur nama grinanti ete. Ho, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. So even if born in the families of dog eaters, so how glorious is such a person if the person is willing to chant the holy name. Such persons are worshipable. So even if a person is born in a chandala or in a dog eater's family or is a dog eater, it doesn't matter if that tongue has chanted the holy name of the Lord, then such a person is worshipable. Now persons who chant the holy name of your Lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. So the person who is able to chant the holy of the Lord, it means that he has surpassed the purification that happens by performing tapasya, by fire sacrifices, by charity and all, because all this is embedded or infused in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. There's a verse, I'll pick it up soon. To be chanting the holy name of your Lordship, they must have bathed at holy place of pilgrimage, studied the Vedas and fulfilled everything required. So the fact that the person is able to chant the holy name of the Lord implies that this is the background, that the person has done the pious activities like bathing in holy places of pilgrimage, studying the Vedas and fulfilled everything required. If that has not happened, that enough purification has not taken place, then the person won't be able to take to Krishna consciousness or will not be able to take to the chanting of the holy name. And this possibly people coming from Vedic culture, so-called Vedic culture or Indian background, they'll be able to understand. Because in my own family, I have got so many cousins on my maternal side, paternal side, and then my sister-in-law, their families. When I talk to them and when I said, chant holy name, they say, can't. But they don't say chant. Every day, whatever darshan pictures I'm taking, I make it a point to send to them. At least they open it. So therefore they acknowledge, okay, thank you, Chandra. Thank you, Chandra. We have received, we have seen it. And therefore I send even small video clippings, that 1 minute video clipping, 30 seconds video clipping, they say that, oh, today there are many devotees in the temple who are participating in Guru Puja Kirtan, and other times say, there aren't many, what's the problem? Is it everything okay? So this itself gives them that opportunity to one day to take up to Krishna consciousness. So therefore, persons who chant the holy name of your Lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities. Otherwise, the person is not able to chant the holy name. Whereas here, I find my brother, my sisters, my cousins, they're all born, if you want to call me that I'm born in a Brahmin family, but they don't chant. They say one day we worship Lord Shiva, other day we'll worship Lord Hanuman, the third day we'll do Satyanarayana Vratam, fourth day we'll do something else, fifth day we go to Baba. My brother also had the Sai Baba on his altar. I said, why all this? He says, no, you don't have faith, but we have faith. So that itself shows that although born in a Brahmin family, although they have been hearing about Krishna, Rama, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam from childhood, but the purity has not taken place. Therefore, they are not willing to chant the holy name of the Lord. So therefore, here in this verse 33.7, Mother Devahuti is saying that how glorious are those tongues which are willing to chant the holy name of the Lord. Doesn't matter, even the person is born in a dog eater's family, such a swapacho, so such a person is glorious. To be chanting the holy name of your Lordship, they must have performed the required pious activities. When I say pious activities, it is not the karmakanda pious activities. It is the sukruti which facilitates them to have the bhakti. So therefore, the person is able to chant. The question could be asked, how is that if a person has performed the charity, yajna, tapasya, and yet is born in a dog eater's family? Person is able to chant, it means that he, in this verse it says that because he is able to chant, he has done the previous sukruti, and when the person has done the previous sukruti, how is that in this life is born in a swapacha family? He should be born in a Vaishnava family, or he should be born in an elevated Brahmin family, but instead is born in a dog eater's family, and himself is a dog eater. We seem to have this apparent contradiction. How is it possible? So when I was searching, I found a verse in 1.5.17. This is... I'll read the Sanskrit one, 1.5.17. Tvektva sudharman charanambu jayam harer bhajan apakvota patetato yadi yatrakva vabhadram abhud amushyakim kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmata. So in this the key word is apakko. That apakko indicate that immature. So one who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. So therefore, there is a possibility that this person has done some devotional activity, but it has remained apakvo, it has remained immature, it was combined with some material activity, and therefore, it's possible that such a person may be born in due to previous conditioning in a dog eater's family. So we can see the contradiction before. We said, even a person who is born in a dog eater's family can take to Krishna consciousness, although a person born in a typical Brahmin family is not able to take to Krishna consciousness. So the question is, how is it possible? So therefore, here it says, bhajan apakko, that bhajan, whatever he has done to charanambujam, to the lotus feet of the Lord Hari, that has not pakwan, or that has not matured, and therefore there are two paths coming out from there. It's possible that such a person, because of mixed desire, or he might have committed some mistake, and therefore the person is born in a family with lower consciousness, or it's possible person can be born in even an animal. As an example, what is an example in an animal body? Bharat Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj. So the person who has done devotional, he was considered to be in a bhava stage, but yet he fell in the next life in the body of a deer. So what matters is not the body. What matters is the consciousness of the person. This is what the underlying principle is emerging. Do not look at the externals. The body could be a sopacho or a dog eater's body, or it could be even an animal body. That doesn't matter. But what matters is the consciousness of that person. If that consciousness of the person is pure, then Mother Devahuti say that that person is glorious and that person is worshipable. But if you look at from the externals, person may be born in a Vedic culture, in a Brahmana family, but when you ask them to chant, you say, can't, it means that the person, he is not purified enough. Unfortunately, they have not come in contact with a devotee who could give them that infusion of bhakti, or bhakti devi is not manifesting in their heart, and therefore they remain on the same platform. Whereas a dog eater, Swapacho, he can become the most glorious person. And here we find, so we're going back to the, and in this Swapacho, the 3.1, 33.7, no, sorry, from 1.5.17, that is Tektva Swadharman, Prabhupada, in his last line, he says, Ajamila is one of them. Ajamila in his early life was a devotee, but in his youth he fell down. Still he was saved by the Lord at the end. So Ajamila in his early life was a devotee. And that's what we find in the 33. He says that, were it not for my past devotional service. So what is the devotional service that Ajamila has done? He was helping his father in getting the required ingredients for performing yajna. And in a yajna, you worship Lord Vishnu. So that devotional activity, whatever he has done, that has come to his rescue. Because when the, the Brahmana who came and suggested that you would name your child as Narayana, any other person would have refused to name why should I name my son as Narayana? I'll name some XYZ which has no meaning. But he took that instruction positively, because the Lord Paramatma has inspired him from within that you must name your son Narayana. And because of the previous devotional activity, he could name his son as Narayana, and that became his rescuing factor at the end of his life. So, for it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean gift prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati? So what is the lesson we can learn from this? That we need to engage ourselves and our children, like Mataji is doing, from childhood in Krishna consciousness activities. I'll give you a simple example. My granddaughter was here 3 weeks back. She's just 2 years, named Janavi. So she's always going here and there. But I said, okay, let me engage her in some simple devotional activity. I took her, I said, we've got a reasonably good big Tulsi Maharani. I gave her water. I said, pour water to Tulsi Maharani. So then she said, okay. She took the water, and she couldn't reach to her height, so I would lift her up and then she would give water. She said, more. So then I'll give some more water. Then she would pour water. So that simple devotional activity which we facilitate the kids to do at this age will stand by them, as it is happening in this case, in their life, at any point of their life, maybe in this life or in any birth. It will be helpful to them. And it's also, there's a saying in our local language, We call it mokkai vanganide manai vangadu. That if you want to bend a child, you should bend the child when the child is young. It's like a tree. If you want to bend a tree, you should be able to bend it only when it's a sapling, when it's a tender plant, then you can bend it the way you want. But after it grows big and strong, you will not be able to bend the plant. So similarly, the child also, when the baby is dependent on us, whatever we tell them, they tend to do. But once they grow big, we have not trained them in Krishna consciousness from the childhood, then at the end, they may not be able to do it. So it's important that we train them right from childhood. Now, what happens, why is that the person, we said that the consciousness is more important than the external bodily features or the family in which the person is born. So we can see that there is what is called the subconscious and the external consciousness. In an external consciousness, I may be very polite because of the culture or because of somewhat training, but the personality of the person is not defined by the external behavior. Rather, it is described by the subconsciousness which the person is carrying. And that is called Svabhav. So it is said that the subconsciousness, which is the samskar, and someone rightly said, it is samskar, which means a scar on your consciousness. So that scar on the scar on the consciousness, it depends on, I've heard from a Vaishnava that it has got five things. One is the false ego, that I and mine, it is so strong in us. So therefore, when that I and mine is in my consciousness, in my subconsciousness, I look at a person as an example, I say, oh, he's a male. Oh, she's a female. So this, it means that I'm looking at the person on a bodily platform. Instead of that, if I see a person, oh, she is a wonderful devotee, or he is a wonderful devotee, that means that I'm transcending the external bodily features of the person. The consequence, the result of that is I'll not think of exploiting that person. Because I'm not looking at the person with an external body, male or a female. Rather, I'm looking at the person as a servant of the Lord, as a spiritual entity, servant of the Lord. And as a servant of the Lord, I'm also a servant of the Lord. That person is a servant of the Lord. So therefore, the exploitation tendency disappears. But otherwise, with the false ego, I and mine, there's a tendency of exploitation. Then the upbringing, then the association, then the past life conditioning. Past life conditioning is so strong, and that past life conditioning need not be from the past life. That conditioning could be in this life itself. I do not know how many of you have seen. I've seen many guys, even as adults, they keep biting their fingers. Because when they are children, their parents have never told them not to do it, and therefore even after they have grown, and they don't mind doing it in front of everyone. They take the finger and then they start biting. So the nails, they cut it off. Or very rarely you see, but at least when I was in Hyderabad, that's where I come from, we had one neighbor, that boy, he was at 17, 18 years, but his thumb was always in his mouth. It's old conditioning, because the parents did not see that the person does not chew his thumb from the childhood. But this, as a child, or the baby, many children put their thumb into their mouth, but at some time you have to wean away from that conditioning. And if you don't do that, then the person, even at an adult age, puts his thumb into the mouth or bites his nails. So therefore, the subconsciousness of the samskar is a combination of this svabhav and the prabhav. The prabhav is in terms of the nurturing and culturing, which is the upbringing, and the association can also be a vital factor. If the association is good, you become virtuous, and if the association is bad, you become a demon. And I can look back into my own college days. It was just first year of degree I entered the college, and then one guy, he said, give me 5 rupees. In those days, 5 rupees, it was quite a big money, but he said, give me 5 rupees, otherwise, because there we had the bullying factor. So he said, if you don't give me 5 rupees, I'm going to do something to you physically and emotionally. So out of fear, I gave him 5 rupees, and he said, you come, I'll take you to a place. And he took me to a place suddenly, which I'm not supposed to visit. But he took it to me. But if that's happened to be on a regular basis, then it leaves behind a scar or a samskar. Fortunately, I did not fall into his trap, but later on when he asked me to come, I said, sorry, I'm not interested, I'm not going to come. But in over and above that, we have what is called the free will, willpower. So the subconsciousness can be cleansed by the use of the willpower, and therefore the Vedic culture gives us a beautiful word called sankalpa. You take a sankalpa, you take a vow, you take a determination that with that vow I am going to do this particular activity. And by taking that sankalpa, it overrides on all the previous, the inner, you can say the personality. I think those of us coming from South India, many of us take the sankalpa of walking Balaji steps. Mata, you have done it? Yeah, your name itself is Tirumala, isn't it? Tirupati. So people coming from South India, we take sankalpa, we'll walk those 2,500 steps. It takes 3.5-4 hours, people coming in the first time. Or people going to Vrindavan, they say, they take a sankalpa, we will do Govardhan Parikrama. So by taking that sankalpa, you are creating virtuous qualities, and one should relish those virtual qualities so that you can rewrite or reprogram your subconsciousness. By doing that rewriting or reprogramming, then you are creating a new software or a new subtle body, and in that subtle body it becomes easy to take to Krishna consciousness. And therefore, in 6.44, Lord Krishna says that purvabhyasena teneva hriyate hi avasopi saha jignasur api yogasya shabda brahmati vartate. So, shabda brahmati vartate, by virtue of the divine consciousness of his previous life. So, we have to rewrite, and the rewriting could take place in the previous life or in this life itself. There are many examples. I think time is running off. I won't be able to give them. But if you see the many examples, as in the case of Ajamil, that devotional activity he has performed, purvabhyasena, and because of that abhyas, it need not be the previous life, in this life itself, that the person could remember, he could follow the instruction of the sage and named the child Narayana, and therefore took it to, and that saved him in the last phase of his life. And we take the 33, then therefore, Prabhupada in 34 gives a grave statement to all of us, saying, those engaged in broadcasting the holy name of Narayana, Krishna, through the Krishna consciousness movement should always consider that our position was before we came and what it is now. So, like in Ajamil, what was my position before coming to Krishna consciousness? and where am I, what am I now? And unless I carry those impressions in my consciousness, I'll not be able to display the required humility. I'll not be able to display the required compassion and then try to give Krishna consciousness to others. We had fallen into abominable lives as meat eaters, drunkards and woman hunters who perform all kinds of sinful activities, but now we have been given the opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So it could, our background could be anything, as Prabhupada says, could be drunkard, eaters, woman hunters, but somehow we have been given the opportunity of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And how has this opportunity come to us? By the association of devotees. Because this is the direct path. One is a gradual path, yoga ladder. The other is the direct path, which is the bhakti ladder. And in a bhakti ladder, the bhakti devi manifests in our heart through the medium of a bhakta like Adipurusha Prabhu. So therefore, we should have the association of devotees like Adipurusha Prabhu and Zach Prabhu, who would give us like Maha Mantra manifesting in our hearts, and therefore we will be able to chant properly as Dr. Mahatma Prabhu does it. Therefore, by the grace of the Lord, we are opening many branches, and we should use this good fortune to chant the holy name of the Lord and serve the Supreme Person of Godhead directly. We must be conscious of the difference between our present past conditions and should always be very careful not to fall from the most exalted life. So therefore, on one side, we should have the association, and if you fall off from the boat of Krishna consciousness, or from the association of devotees, we can see in our own community, at least I can see two families have bloomed. They were coming, they have done a lot of service, but they have disappeared from the congregation. And one family at least have not seen them for the last 7 or 8 years, and another family have not seen them for the last 3.5-4 years. It's not because of COVID, but otherwise also there is no communication, there is no contact, and even after the lockdown has been lifted, we don't see them. So therefore, this association is so important. So you must be conscious of the difference between our present and past conditions and should always be very careful not to fall from the exalted life. And this is possible when we have wonderful devotees like Adipurusha Prabhu, Mahatma Prabhu, Priya Mataji, our Professor Raj Prabhu, Zach, and everyone who is in the class today. And finally, we'll conclude with the prayers of two prayers from Mukundamala. Verse number 31 and 32. I'll read the 31 Sanskrit. Shatru Chedaika Mantram Sakalam Upanishad Vakya Samupuja Mantram Samsaro Cheda Mantram Samuchita Tamasa Sangha Niryana Mantram Sarvaishwaryeka Mantram Vyasana Bhujaga Sandasta Santrana Mantram Jivha Sri Krishna Mantram Japa Japa Satatam Janma Safalya Mantram. So the translation: O tongue, please constantly chant the mantra composed of Sri Krishna's names. This is the only mantra for destroying all enemies. The mantra worshipped by every sword, every word of the Upanishads. The mantra that uproots samsara. The mantra that drives away all the darkness of ignorance. The mantra for attaining infinite opulence. The mantra for curing those bitten by the poisonous snake of worldly distress, and the mantra for making one's birth in this world successful. And finally, the last verse we'll conclude with this. Vyamoha prasamaushadam munimano vritti pravritti aushadam. So all aushadam, what is the medicine? Daityendridati karaushadam tribhuvane sanjeevanaika aushadam bhaktyatyanta hitaushadam bhavabhaya pravadham saikaushkam shreya prapti karaushadam pibamana sri krishna divya aushadam. O mind, please drink the transcendental medicine of Sri Krishna's glories. It is the perfect medicine for curing the disease of bewilderment, for inspiring sages to engage their minds in meditation, and for tormenting the mighty daitya demons. It alone is the medicine for restoring the three worlds to life and for bestowing unlimited blessings on the Supreme Lord's devotees. Indeed, it is the only medicine that can destroy one's fear of material existence and lead one to the attainment of the supreme good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, I think any question or comment, because it's 9:05, we have, yes Prabhu.
First of all, thank you very much for giving such a nice discourse morning. And also we are sharing aarti also. So they can take aarti also.
Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
Today the page we are getting from the course. You want to say a few lines?
Yeah, but I did not touch to read. I think Jagadish Pandit in Krishna Leela was a good dancer, I think, if I remember well. Anyone has read about Jagadish Pandit for today's session? And then in Gauranga Leela also he appears with as Jagadish Pandit as a good dancer. Yeah, and I'm not, sorry Prabhu, I did not read, so therefore I won't be able to, my memory is, I can't recall back. Any other question or a comment? Okay then. Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to assembled, Hare Krishna. All glories to assembled, Hare Krishna. All glories to assembled, Hare Krishna.